Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too. I'm in Houston, Texas, broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency in Houston, Texas, beautiful downtown Houston, Texas, helping Administraff celebrate their 20th anniversary. What a great feat. And the guy sitting in front of me is one of the reasons why they have been so successful for the last 20 years. Mr. Jay Minks, Executive Vice President, Sales and Marketing. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here this morning.
It's good to have you back. Thanks for inviting me down to help you guys celebrate.
Well, you know, you're part of the team. We've got to have you here.
I appreciate that. 20 years. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Well, you know, of course, the company started in 1986 with Paul Sarvati and Jerry McIntosh, who are the founders, in a room about this size, probably smaller than this room here right now.
One phone.
Folks, this is not a very big room.
They don't give me big rooms.
Right. They understand how much of a partier you are. Make a mess of it. Actually, it's very austere here, you're right. You know, 20 years ago, coming up in the, actually April 1st will be the official birthday. But really, it started off, you know, as a company that had a vision from the very beginning. And the vision was to make a difference in the lives of small business owners and their employees, improve the quality of their life. And then the vision just has continued to expand. You know, one of the principles in any successful business, as you start the business and you move forward, is the visionary, the leader of that company. If they've got a clear vision, there's a law that's called the law of attraction. You attract mm-hmm. other people
right.
to that vision. And, of course, Paul Sarvati is a tremendous visionary, and you know, and the rest of this say is history. We brought along. I came with the company almost 16 years ago. We started a national expansion plan in 1994 in earnest. Of course, now
you were one of the first salespeople, weren't you?
Well, we had as district sales manager for Houston when that's all we had was Houston. I was district sales manager with six sales reps, and now of course we're up to 270, I guess.
Yeah.
Heading to 300.
And they're all here right now.
They're all here, getting fired up,
right.
You know. And that's part of our vision. We like to get everybody together, look them in the eye, encourage them, tell them how much we appreciate them mm-hmm. with an awards night for our most successful people. But everybody gets to attend, and it's a formal affair. And a lot of our folks look forward to it, you know, coming from all over the country, look forward
right.
to coming and experiencing that.
You know, this law you were talking about, this law of attraction, mm-hmm. you know, that could also be called the law of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is, one thing we know about leaders is leaders find people who will follow them.
Yes.
And when we think about leaders, Jay, we're not, you know, to me, I don't just think about individuals. Companies are that way too, aren't they? Companies
yes.
can be leaders in their space, in their marketplace, wherever, you know, in their industry, and find customers who want to follow them
right.
too, don't they?
Well, absolutely. What we find is as we've honed down our marketing strategy, we have determined that the companies that benefit from us the most are those that are, generally speaking, the better or the best in their sector. They're looking at getting another edge. Mm-hmm. How can I get a leg up? How can I keep moving this thing forward? And that's when we come into play, because we're able to all of a sudden bring a ton of resources, make that available to them, so that they can, again, focus on the things that make the difference in their business going to the next level. And it works. For those that are transitioning, by that I mean those that are going from, you know, a startup and moving and, you know, growing the business, 5, 10, 15 employees, they're starting to get a hold of a vision. You know, we also have those clients that are maybe they're not the best in the sector, but they aspire to be.
Mm-hmm.
And those are where we have targeted now.
And you guys see the opportunity. And I'm really glad you said what you just did about targeting. You know, you're not shotgunning the world. You're not looking for you recognize that your fortune, your success with Administraff is not with trying to be all things to all people.
Well,
you've segmented, haven't you?
There's too many small businesses. I mean, you know, it's the curse of plenty. There's
right.
millions of them.
Right.
And to have our salespeople just chasing businesses is not appropriate, and it's ineffective. and inefficient. So we've targeted. Now, let me say this. You know, as a leader, which is what we just talked about this week with our salespeople, that we're going to continue to lead. And that's why we do expend dollars establishing our brand. You know, you could argue that, gosh, you're spending all these dollars. Why don't you just go do a target? If you're targeted, just, you know, go right at that person that's out there. But we've got a bigger vision for our company, and we're looking at how can we reach out to those companies that maybe never use our services in the professional employer environment, but will use our expertise in some form or fashion. But in order to do that effectively, then you've got to establish the name at Ministaff and make it synonymous with small business.
Right.
And it takes a heck of an investment and a commitment.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that. And what you just said basically, I think, is that when you cast a net, you're trying to catch two different kinds of fish, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And one of them you're going to do business with right away, and the others you might grow them into help them grow into future customers.
Correct.
And see, I think that's a good lesson for all small businesses out there. You know, don't be so myopic about, don't be so single visioned about who you're going after, but you got to focus on the customers you deal with, but also widen your vision so that you can see who might be coming into the picture.
Well, it's always, you know, that's marketing. You're trying to cultivate a field out
right.
there, and it's not ready to be harvested. It's the time for harvest is that's why you have rotation crops, I guess. You know, you're always developing this field that, you know, when the time comes, you can get a harvest off of it. But it's really about the day-to-day activities of our salespeople that ultimately determine the growth of our business. I mean, when you look at, you know, for example, some of the things that we're going to talk about at our celebration tonight down at NASA with 2,000 people,
right.
employees, you talk about revenue growth of 25% compounded over 9 years, you know, gross profit 23%, net income 31%.
Congratulations.
Net income growth compounded over 9 years.
How have you been able to do that, Jay? Those are strong numbers. How does your company do that, and what can small business owners learn from that?
Well, it really does. It really does take a commitment, and I tell you, it's the accountability factor. I think, Jim. I mean, there's one thing where you say we have a great corporate culture, and it's a culture of caring for people. But I don't believe you can separate, you know, accountability and caring. If you really care about somebody, you make them accountable. True sense of tough love, if that's the way I say it that way. And so as a sales organization, we're serious about our goals. We have a system of selling that's proven. We have a system of recruiting that's proven. We have a system of, you know, profiles that we look at. And so it's a matter now of us executing, opening offices, putting salespeople in there, and making it happen that way. So it's a proven plan.
Hold on to that thought, Jay. Quick break. We're going to take a quick one and sell some stuff. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after, and yes, I am on the road again, as Can Heat sings. I'm in Houston, Texas, beautiful downtown Houston, Texas, broadcasting from the Hyatt Regency Hotel, helping Administaff celebrate 20 years in business. This is their 20th anniversary year, and Jay Meeks is sitting in front of me. Jay is Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing here at Administaff, 16-year veteran, and I don't know where they would be without him.
Hit the ball, drag Jay. You know?
We had a good time last night. That was fun at the Administ Squares thing. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Jay, I'm holding a document in my hand. Mm-hmm. It's called 2020 Forward Vision, Celebrating 20 Years of Service, Small Business by Administaff. Now, this is a beautiful document, but what I wanted to get across to the audience is by 2020, you mean here's what got us to this 20.
Right.
Here's what we think will take us to the next 20.
Right.
Now, there are people out there who have 1 year behind them,
mm-hmm.
5 years behind
right.
them. You know, my small business is about 17 years old.
Right.
I've been doing what I'm doing now for about a little 8.5 years. So we all have our own anniversaries coming up.
Sure.
If there's somebody out there listening who's been in business three years, how would they develop a 3-3?
Well, you know, the reason we use the 2020 is because it's the idea there is you can see clearly
the vision.
You got clear vision. I think that it really depends upon what their aspirations are, Jim. I mean, As we look forward to the next 20 years, what we're thinking is that the majority of us that are in executive management probably won't be here. So we're thinking, what is the legacy? What is it? What is it we want to do now? Now that we've got a financial model that's strong, now we have a sales model that's strong, now we have a brand that's getting stronger every day, where do we want to be in 20 years?
Who's the next Jay Meeks?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What is it? What are we going to leave behind? What is the stone tablets, if you will, that can lead the next group?
Because to you, this is too good. What you guys got have, and I know this three-year company feels the same way. This is too good to let it die.
Right, and because it becomes a part of you. It's absolutely a part of you, and it's something that you birth and you nurture, and then and now that you're in adulthood, you know, 20 years, what kind of a person are you going to become? What kind of legacy are these folks going to leave behind?
Well, how do we execute that? We make sure we hire smart people. Hire people who don't think exactly like we think. What do we do?
Well, there's always the need to innovate. So you've got to hire people who are going to challenge your thinking. They're going to challenge the way you do things now. You know, one of our initiatives we're doing right now is a mid-market initiative where we're learning how to reach out to this group, 150 employees to 2,000. We feel like there's a big gap there in terms of people that can service that group. But we're learning how to do it. And through that learning, we're innovating like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like personally our competition is causing us to innovate. They're not pressuring us to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so you almost have to create an internal angst, if you will, that causes you to be
put
stimulated.
Pressure on yourself.
Absolutely, you have to do it. You can't become complacent. So any vision going forward has got to stretch you.
Where does that does that come from? That pressure that you put on yourself. What well does that come from?
Well, I think it comes from your gut. I think it's just an innate need that a person has. That I think it's a God-given attribute, if you will, that says tomorrow's going to be a better day.
Do you think you either have it or you don't have it?
I think you can acquire it. I think you can acquire it a couple of ways. One is you can change who you are by getting stimulation from inspirational books, whatever it may be.
Radio
speakers,
shows.
Radio program. Exactly. I mean, really, that's the truth. And then you move forward and you hire it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that attribute, we talk about around here a lot about, you know, we talk about the strengths of people and don't delegate weaknesses. and so you hire a fireball for crying out loud, and then reward that person. Many times in small business, they hire a fireball, and then they try to push them down. Slow down.
Do you think a lot of small businesses are worried that some of their really good people might supersede, might actually?
Oh, I think absolutely they do.
That's ego getting in the way, isn't it?
You know, early on in the business, and that's real frankly how Steve Arispe and I became part of the admin staff, is this management team that's very entrepreneurial said, we're not going to go take it to the next level. We're not professional managers. We don't have the training. We don't. You know, that's how we got here.
Yeah.
And so they were willing to lay aside their ego for the betterment of the company.
And let employees find success in their own, whatever success they can find, let them find it.
And be fair. It's not, I'll tell you, I go out and I talk to business owners a lot, and they don't always treat their folks fairly, particularly somebody, a rising star, you're going to have to reward, because somebody else will. And so that's where we come in, our service comes in, because we are able to help this business owner now have a suite of benefits that says to that employee, man, this person really cares about me.
Right.
I'm going to stay here. Where can I get these kinds of benefits?
Speaking of that, professional employer organization, PEO.
Correct.
That's what Administef is.
Yes.
But you guys you do something called co-employment.
That's right.
I got about a minute. Tell us what that means.
Well, that simply means that we establish a relationship not only with the employee, but with the client owner. So it's a three-way partner. So by doing that, then we're able to bring our services into that client. So the employee for purposes of the payroll and benefits and those kinds of things, work for Administef for the purposes of direction and control and the average day-to-day operation.
Executing the business.
They work for the business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just simple contract law, and it's kind of a contract, a kind of art that we developed, Paul Sarvati and our legal folks developed, that makes it very easy to understand how it works.
And it allows customers, your partners, to focus on their core competencies and let you guys take care over the administration.
I mean, who can be an expert in human resources now? You got a 20, 30 employee company?
Exactly. Jay, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here.
Jim.
Good job today. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Well, it's going to be a great time tonight at NASA.
Thank you very much. Jay Meeks, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with Steve Arispe. He's on the hot seat. Right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.